of 1,000 students doing master's degrees at Manchester Business School this year, 400 will be Chinese.
Mm.
And some really, really clever young people.
And do you... how do you spread the emphasis, if you like, between those things that they need to learn about, you know, corporate PR, the financial PR side as well, because obviously they'll be looking for investors, demonstrating good governance versus understanding branding, understanding advertising and all these new concepts, which they love and absorb when they see it from the West, but they've then got to create their own things.
Well, we've got to give them frameworks, as we do with all students. So there are jokes about 2x2 matrices that you learn in business schools, but there's lots of good 2x2 matrices, market growth versus market dominance, whatever it is that you want to do, that you can use to codify and simplify the sort of business decisions that you're having to make. And just showing people the power of the media, the power of communication. Many Chinese students, when they come here, have not seen Tiananmen Square. They've not seen the young man trying to stop the tank. And when they see things like that, and the Chinese leadership must know that they're going to be seeing this when they come to the West. Deng Xiaoping was educated himself in Paris. So they must know this is going to happen. And they're going to take insights like that back. And the first thing they're going to say inside the companies they're joining is, PR, media coverage, online. Egypt. Classic example of how quickly modern media can open issues up. Now, the days, breaking it down to the corporate level, when companies could assume that if there was something that they were trying to hide, they could at least hide it for a year or two. You can't now rely upon hiding it for a minute or two. So the idea that that sort of mindset that must be there in China and Russia, because they've been used to a controlled culture, they've been used to a disciplined culture, coming into the West and seeing this free-for-all and realising that's their future reality must be one heck of a shock.
But there is an equivalent shock for the Western companies, because they are also going through a shock of loss of control, of suddenly seeing the internet mob, the sort of... how virtual anger can be whipped up and its destructive power. You know, I have an example, I don't know if you know, of Cooksource, where we look at social media stories and break them down and timeline them and so on. It was a cookery magazine that stole a recipe from an online recipe blogger and then sent back a really sarcastic reply of saying that all internet information is public anyway, isn't it? And you should be paying me because I made corrections to your spellings, which were medieval language, which you hadn't realised. And it took a day to mobilise a mob of 4 million angry people. And then the second day sealed the fate of the magazine because a group went after the advertisers and started setting up rewards for those who dropped advertising in the magazine. And secondly, another group who went on to find and demonstrate instances where they'd plagiarised other recipes and published a spreadsheet of 160 articles, and the magazine closed in 2 weeks. So some situations, whether it's BP, Nestle and so on, you can obviously see that the brand and reputation has been damaged, but it's difficult to quantify. That one you can quantify in terms of reach, in terms of what they did, and end effect.
I don't know the organisation, and wouldn't like to be thought this is what I was saying about them, but there are certain cultures which are accidents looking to happen, we can refer to them, you know, deviant, aberrant cultures, whatever language you want to use. The chances of that sort of business surviving for very long are lower and lower and lower.
Yes.
And great. So the chances of TV programmes like Watchdog and the like surviving in the long term become lower and lower and lower, as almost as soon as they can put a programme together, the bloggers have got at the company and have destroyed it. So that side of it, great. Roll on, that we can remove from capitalism a lot of dodgy businesses.
But it almost changes the whole way that crisis management theory works. Because, you know, you see this US crisis management theory and it's like, blame someone else or deny it, you know, and there's this whole list of strategies which from an ethical point of view stink really, but they are strategies that, you know, have been, that people in the past have seen to work. And I think, to my mind, in today's environment, there's less and less chance of those strategies working.
Quite agree. The academic word for it is apologia, which sounds like apology but it actually means the opposite. How to wriggle out of it. And the classic case that we teach here, but for different reasons, not this is how to do it, but this is what people do. Do you think that's sustainable going forward? Is Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Everybody knows what's going on.
I did not do that, ma'am.
But here's how to wriggle out of it.
Yeah.
And you know, the current issue would be Berlusconi. And the lovely one that I picked up in the media 2 days ago. I thought she was the granddaughter of the president of Egypt, so I gave her a present because I thought it was good for Italian-Egyptian relationships. Lovely. Great. Can you get away with that forever? Well, we'll see when he goes to court.
Well, indeed. Well, I think we'll leave a lot more of the questions to another day, when I think we'll drill down into some of the particular themes. But for the moment, Professor Gary Davis, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Good fun.